Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Because We Are a Covenant People.
God, we're going to talk about it, God, but we can't miss another moment where you're speaking, Lord. We can't miss another moment where you're talking, Lord, for you are a talking God. And Lord, we live by the preceding word of God. So Lord, speak, give us ears to hear, and then give us a will to do. Not only let us be hearers, but let us be doers of the word of God. Thank you, Father, that as we walk out the word of God, we will see your covenant come to pass. And Lord, all of your covenant involves precious promises, Lord. So Lord, we'll see the promises become yes, and they will become amen. Oh God, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you, God. Speak now, oh Lord. And Lord, when you've, oh God, finished, God, let me have already sat down. We thank you, we glorify your name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Everybody, y'all can stay right where y'all are. I'm down to 17 minutes and I'll be done. All right, for a few moments this morning, I want to talk from a subject at Network. You can stay right where you are. Amen. I want to just talk from a theme, because you are a covenant people. Because we are a covenant people. Do me a favor, grab somebody by the hand or just talk to somebody and say, because we are a covenant people. He says in Genesis chapter number 17 that Abram at this time, I'm going to make my covenant with me and you. And then because I make my covenant with me and you, it's going to be good to your children and your children's children. And he says, then I'm going to have nations come out of you, and I'm going to have kings come out of you, raising godly children and mentoring the next generation of what? Kings, queens, and generals. He said, I'm not going to make you productive. He said, I'm not going to just change it. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to have nations come out of you, and then kings are going to come out of you. He's saying you are significant. Continuation is going to happen, because what's going on between me and you? I'm going to say that again. He says, because what's going on between me and you, things are going to happen in the earth that are not understandable. I wish I had a little bit more time. Make sure that you always got something going on with God that'll cause things to happen in the earth. I'm going to say that again. Make sure, because this is what God says to Abram in the text. He said, because of what's going on between me and you, I'm going to make this people a great nation. And because what's going on between me and you, I'm going to be your children's and your children's God. And then he says, everybody that comes and be a part of your children's and your children's life, I'm going to make a great nation of them, and then I'm going to even be their God. Could it be that God is no longer the God of America because not enough citizens called him God? Because he makes a promise to Abraham that because you and I got this thing going on, I'm going to be God to your children and your children's children. Go back and read the text. He says it. Especially in verse number 8. And he says, now, because what's going on between me and you, I'm not just going to be a God to your children and your children's children. I'm going to be a God to everybody that comes to be a part of their lives. Me and Jesus got this thing going on. And it's going to have repercussions on everybody that's connected to me. God. Oh, God. Make sure you got something going on with God that's not just going to affect you. If the only thing that's going to have an effect on is you by what you're going on with God, then you made God too small. God wants to affect your wife if you're married. God wants to affect your children if you have children. God wants to affect the community that he lets you live in. Even if you got the smallest house in that neighborhood, you got a big God that's going to make big impact. But because we don't have enough going on with God, we don't see the byproduct. Our God is a God of wondrous works. Over and over and over, he begins again. Our God God is a God of wondrous works. I'm almost done. Down about 15 minutes. I'll keep the time today, Sydney, all right? Our God is a God of wondrous works. Over and over, he begins again. He chooses places. He chooses people. He chooses nations, and he chooses situation to determine where he's going to start something new. I need to say that again, all right, because some of us resist change, and you need to understand that our God is a God of wondrous works. Over and over and over, he begins again. Somebody say to me and say, over and over, God begins again. Don't ever forget that. Don't build monuments where you saw a movement. At least you stand and stare, and God's gone. Over and over, God begins again. He chooses places. He chooses people. He chooses nations. He chooses situations to say, here is where I'm going to start something again. Normally, I didn't really come to teach about this. Normally, the last people that God moved in are the ones that persecute when God begins to move new in a new people. You'll get it later. He says in Revelation, behold, I make all things new. At the place that he finds individuals that will totally cooperate with what he has sovereignly chosen to do, he then says, watch my godly providence at work. Y'all stick with me because I don't have much time this morning. All right, God chooses places. God chooses people. God chooses nation. God chooses situation where he says, I'm going to start doing something new. At that place of sovereignty where he's chosen to move, the people, the place, the things, the situation, he stands back and says, now watch my providence at work. For those of us that will see and have our ears to the mouth of God, we begin to say, this is the Lord's doing and it is beautiful in our eyes. Those of us don't have eyes, those of us don't see, we wonder why we got to do all that. Why we got to go there. Love is fine. Why we got to consider that Moses is dead? Over and over, God says, now, watch my providence at work. And it becomes the Lord's doing. Second Peter says, a people that had not received mercy now begins to receive mercy. A people that have not had faith now begins to walk in faith. And that's what Genesis shows us over and over and over, the beginnings of God. Somebody said to me real loud, God is beginning again. My God. Somebody said to me real loud, God is beginning again. God is beginning again. I'm so glad God's got new beginnings. If you don't believe that God begins again, he did it with the first fathers. I wish I had time in Bible class. I would stop and ask, do you know who the first fathers are? God began again with the first fathers. And then when he had finished with the first fathers, he did it again with Moses. When he had finished with Moses, he began again with Joshua. When he finished with Joshua, we can go to the minor or the major prophets, or we can go to the book of Kings. King after king after king or queen, God began. Ends again. Somebody said to me real loud, God is beginning again. God. He moves as he will in the nations of kings and the nations of kingdoms. He does all these things as he has determined. And this is what he has determined, that with all of my doing, I'm going after having a covenant people in the earth. Why am I doing all of these things? Why would I go from Moses to Joshua and from major prophets to minor prophets and then go through 400 silent years and then bring Jesus on the scene and then go to the book of Acts and then say in Hebrews that I'm giving you a new covenant, that these old covenants is already passed away? Why would he do all this? Because he's trying, and he will have a covenant people in the earth without spot. Without wrinkle. He wants to have a people in the earth, and I'm almost there. He wants to have a people in the earth that produces a godly seed. Are y'all listening to me? He wants to have a people in the earth. Why does he raise up these kings and then he sat? Daniel said he raises up kings and then he sat down kings. Why? up judges and then he get rid of judges? Why would he go 400 silent years saying nothing, and then here comes Elizabeth and here comes Mary saying, I'm pregnant of the Holy Ghost? Because I believe with all of my heart, he looks into the earth and he says, that ain't my people. Oh, God. He looks in the earth and he says, that ain't quite them either. He looks in the earth and he says, ah, almost. One time he said, he looked and he saw the wickedness that was in man. He said, I'm going to destroy all of this. Because he's looking to find a covenant people in the earth. He's trying to find a people that when they birth children, they would raise them to be godly. That when they mentor and they influence other, even the heathen nation begin to say their God is God, and we want their God to be our God. I want you to hear me today, because you are a covenant people. You are more than you think you are. You have more to do than just talking tongues on Tuesday. You have more to do than witness 1-2 times in 3 years. You got more to do. You've got to change the kingdoms of this world that they might become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. You're here. You're here. It takes a community, a village to raise a child. God wants to have a covenant people in the earth. And that's why he has began again. He wants what come out of us. Are y'all listening? He wants what come out of us, and I'm talking about children now, that at 3 and 4, they're learning how to prophesy. Now, they might have to put the iPhone down to learn how to prophesy. Oh, y'all don't want to mess with me today. He wants that by the time they're 7 and 8, they can interpret dreams and they can interpret visions. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He want by the time they 12 and 13, they're like king. Amen. What's that young king's name? Josiah. By the time they 12 and 11, they're ready to rule over nations. But because we've not understood that we are covenant people, we've allowed this stuff to slip. And we're trying to make them something at 17. And I need to tell you, that's too late. I'm going to bring them back to church when they get 21. Well, you've told them for 21 years church ain't important. What makes you think now at that point that they're going to realize that church is important? Oh, y'all getting quiet in here. He wants to have a covenant people in the earth, and I'm down to about 4 or 5 minutes. God does all these things because he wants to have a people that raise godly children and mentor the next generation of kings and queens. One of the main reasons I believe that we have the Bible is that we would have a record of what it is that the Lord has been doing from beginning, that maybe we can cooperate because now we're towards the end. And what he's really after is having a covenant people. And in those covenant people, raise godly children. And they mentor or they influence the next generation of kings and queens and generals that are in the earth. Put in your notes Numbers chapter number 14, verse 11 through 21. He says, surely as I live, this earth is going to be filled with my glory. The earth being filled with the glory of God, I believe, has a lot to do with having a covenant people in the earth. How much glory have you revealed this week, covenant people? Did they see glory when you went to work? How much glory have your children seen on you? He says, surely as I live, this earth is going to be filled with my glory. And it is the covenant people of God that ought to be displaying the very glory of God. So there are 3 things in the text, you guys, and I'm done. I got 1 minute for each point, so let me rush. Number one, because we are the covenant people of God, number one, we should be settled into living in the speaking place of God. Number one, We should now be settled. Stay right there, Edward. Don't leave me, all right? We should be now settled into living in the speaking place of God. My sheep heareth my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. In Deuteronomy chapter number 8, around the 4th verse, he says, man, I've taken you through so you can come to understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God shall man live. By now, we ought to be settled in living in the speaking place of God. We shouldn't have to call 14 fasts to know what the Lord is saying. Talk back to me. I got some favorite preachers that I love to listen to, but I shouldn't have to put on my favorite preachers to hear what God is saying. Now, that's part of it for me to get the corporate understanding of what God is saying to us, but I ought to have a one-on-one relationship, and I'm talking about on Monday, I'm talking about on Tuesday, I'm talking about on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I ought to know what God is saying, both Logos and Rhema. Logos is Genesis through Revelation. Rhema is what he specifically says to us, like today in Genesis 17 and 1. In Genesis 17 and 1 is where I get this point. And the Lord said unto Abram. Let me tell you guys what is a great mystery to me. And I'm on a quest to find out why. If you read in the Old Testament, the encounters that these patriarchs had with God, mind blowing. Keep playing, don't stop. If you ever get a chance, read about these encounters that these Old Testament saints had with God. They'd be walking out on the mountain and a bush would start burning that's not consumed, and they would take note of it, and God would start talking out of that burning bush. That's not dynamic to y'all. They would be in fiery furnaces placed by their adversary. And this is a mystery to me, Reverend Anthony. They would be placed in fiery furnaces by their adversary. And the adversary would look into their fiery furnace and it says, we threw three of them in there, but behold, there's four of them in the flames of fire that I put them in. It must be the Son of God. What blows my mind, and you can read them over and over and over throughout the Old Testament, that they had these dynamic encounters where they arrived to the speaking place of God. And then I read in Hebrews 7 and chapter number 8, it says that these New Testament Christians, we're under better covenant with better promises. It infers greater privileges, but we have less encounters. Don't take this wrong. I hear so often, but I don't know what the Lord is saying. Okay, y'all looking at me in that tone now. I think this is the point y'all want to stone me, and I think this point, Sydney, they're saying, okay, you said 15 minutes and you're down now. Don't go another day without knowing that any moment, any time, you can hear from your God. Stop letting the enemy convince that you can't hear God. I wish somebody would say something back to me. We serve a speaking God, and now we ought to be live in a place that when we go to work, as we go, we hear God talking. As we go back home, what we're supposed to do with them children this afternoon, as we go to take care of our affairs, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying. Now, can I help you with that? Can I help you with that? Who got a Bible? Can I help you with that? If you want to live in the speaking place, you got to open this up. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You got. Come on, tell your neighbor. Neighbor, you got to read this a little bit more. Y'all better please hear me. When you get a chance, read Hebrews 4 and 11 and 12. It tells you that this is a living book, and it's quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Hear me. You can be reading this, and as you get up and go somewhere, God will start saying, this is what I meant. But you got to open it. And see, this is why the enemy Christian don't want you to read this. because he know you will then dwell in a speaking place. So he makes sports a little bit more entertaining. You can do that for 3 hours, but can't read the Bible 3 minutes. He makes looking at the government and what's going on with Trump and all that. I ain't getting on that subject. He makes all this stuff more engaging to us. So we get engaged in this stuff and we don't bat an eye. We don't get sleepy. But the minute we open this, because he knows, Bowana, Deacon Bowana, if you keep opening this as you go about your daily affairs, it's going to become the living word. And it'll speak regardless of where you are. Number one, I got to get finished now. Number one, by now we should be settled. Somebody say real loud when we say, I'm settling myself to live in the speaking place of God. Number two. You can do that because you are a covenant people. Number two, I got to get done now. I'm out of time, y'all. Number two, and I got to sort of kind of warn you, if you settle yourself into living in the speaking place of God, I was trying to wear another one of my shirts today that talks about reset on it, but I found a hole in it, so I couldn't wear it. So number two says, we must stay ready for God resets. Number two, we must stay ready for God's resets. Every now and then he's hitting reset. Oh God. Every now and then he's saying, I'm getting ready to change everything about you. You don't believe it? He says, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but now you're going to be called Abraham. Somebody said me, reset. And Abram wasn't bad because that was a high and exalted father. But he says, now I'm getting ready to make you a father to many nations. And men don't get domineering there. He did the exact same thing with Sarai, my princess, to making her Sarah, a mother of many nations. Somebody do me a favor, talk to your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you ready? You about to be reset. God Almighty, good God Almighty. Come on, look at somebody and say, neighbor, are you ready? You about to be reset. God, anybody ready for a reset? That your marriage will no longer be the same. That the way you raise those children, every now and then you need a divine reset. And I've got permission from the Father to say, here comes reset. Here comes reset. Here comes reset. Here comes reset. I need to say this. Some of us have entered into latter seasons. We can no longer miss what God is doing in the present season. I can't miss no more resets. I believe my friend down in New Orleans sung, whatever God's doing in this season, I don't want him to do it without me. If God, I'm going through a reset, then reset me. This is what goes along with the covenant people. Every now and then he moves you from the Mosaic covenant, and he moves you to the Davidic covenant. Can you imagine the people that was trying to walk out the Mosaic covenant and God said, but you're not under the Mosaic covenant anymore. You've been reset. Now you're under the Davidic covenant. Some of them, I wish I had a little bit more time. Some of them are bringing the old equipment that they had in the Moses tabernacle that was part of the Mosaic covenant. They trying to bring it into the Davidic or David covenant or the David temple. And the temple gods are saying, that equipment ain't required for this covenant. Don't miss the reset. Don't miss the reset. Some of us are in latter seasons that we can no longer miss what God is doing in present season. Some of us have missed too many things that he was doing in the present season. And in this season, we want to be right in the middle of what it is that he's doing. Somebody say this with me, and I'm going to my final point, and I'm going to sit down. Somebody say, in this season, I want to be right in the middle of what it is that God is presently doing. Somebody say real loud, God, reset me, reset me. God, reset me. That's what he's doing. All right, number three, if we're going to be a part of a covenant people, then number one told us very clearly, number one, we should be settled into the speaking place of God. And whenever God is a speaking God, he resets us and he does something new. And then number three, because we are a covenant people, I got to go to my seat, the expectations always should be greater.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged And please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.